Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you in to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. James Coe here with you. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful Monday it is. We got a big time show in front of us here today, and we have your usual cast of characters. We have Matt Franciscovich, the franchise. What's up?
Yo, what's going on?
How you doing, pal?
I'm wonderful.
Yeah?
Let's do this.
You feeling good after Steelers bye week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah? Yeah. A little rest. Hopefully Martavis can get involved here.
Oh, boy.
Who?
Looking good.
He
was, I don't know who that is.
Martavis?
Okay.
He was getting feisty this morning. Harmon and I were saying, like,
they came
this,
at me.
This we didn't come at you. We just said,
they came at me.
Historically, every year, the Steelers have a couple games where they play down to an inferior opponent and lose a game they have no business losing. We're like, oh, man, this week they go on the road to the Colts after their bye, and we're like, this feels like this could be one of those spots. And Franchise is like, what do you want to fight about it? He's trying to AJ Green us on
I didn't say fight. Listen.
He said he was like, well, okay, then lay beer bets on it. We're just saying, no. Listen, we're discussing the possibility of this happening. Yeah. Like, we're just having a conversation. Okay. You're cranking it immediately to 10.
They've attacked me. But listen, I apologize for my irrational reaction. And
well, you apologized to me.
Gelhar wasn't there, but I did apologize to Harmon, and he accepted it.
Okay, that's good.
And I'm sorry.
Just because we've accepted the apology doesn't mean
it was a funny note to start the morning on.
Perfect.
Especially then after you asked him.
Right. WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, what's cracking, man?
Some coffee. It's good.
Okay,
ready to
run. Shocking.
Wow, surprise.
West Virginia's finest. We got Matt Harmon. What's going on, man?
Oh, I'm good. Just
saw you absolutely tilting on the Eric Decker touchdown yesterday.
Oh, yeah. that was very sad.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, I just looked over there. Once he scored, I looked immediately over there. Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure there he is.
Yeah, there he is.
Pretty sure he had that blank, like, dead look. But, again, really don't want to talk about it.
Your face got super red. You took off the glasses. You were rubbing your eyes.
Oh,
that's what happened.
When the glasses are off. That's when you know it's
serious.
Bad.
Things
are bleak.
We're going to cover your waiver wire today. We're going to talk about your top performances. Jay Cutler, what? Jared Goff, also an amazing day. How about at your wide receiver position? We'll talk about the big day that we saw from Alshon Jeffrey and Nuke Hopkins. Talk about some biggest disappointments. We will talk about long-term concerns. Possibly, maybe, I don't know. Devontae Freeman, maybe, I don't know. CJ Anderson, is he a drop? All right, we'll get to all of those. And, of course, we will cover every damn game as well. But we start your show, as we always do, with your top headlines. News. The whistles go whoop,
whoop.
I like turtles. All right, Kershon Wentz is amazing, man. No Jason Peters on that offensive line. Taking on the Denver defense, a defense that had been just amazing. And Carson Wentz just absolutely carved them up.
He did.
I mean, just shredded them. I mean, when you guys watch this performance, I'd love to know what your thoughts were on this game. We'll start with you, Alex.
Carson Wentz has been amazing, but I feel like we've had a big love affair with Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams podcast.
McVay.
But we haven't given enough credit to Doug Peterson as well, who's been calling some awesome games.
Sure.
Like, that offense is really creative. They're loaded with playmakers. Wentz is always, like, he's just making stupid plays in these games where he's, like, dodging guys, getting tackled, throwing touchdowns. His first touchdown to Alshon was awesome, where he, like, escaped the pocket and then lofted it over to Tlaib perfectly. So, Carson Wentz is the real deal. I got a lot of questions on Facebook Live on Sunday morning before the games that people were, like, worried about Wentz
offering up other
players. And I was like, no. I was like, Wentz is in the midst of an MVP-caliber season. He's got tons of playmakers around him. I would not fret. And it paid off. Like, he's at the set it and forget it point now.
And his main touchdown guy, Zach Ertz, was out.
That's right. What I'm saying.
And he did it without him.
Zach Ertz still threw the tight end. God, jeez.
Yeah.
Trey Burton, get out of my life. he didn't have his favorite target.
Yeah.
Pro Bowl left tackle, Jason Peters was out of this game. That's where I was concerned. That's where I was concerned, was Jason Peters being out of this game. Von Miller, you think about all those edge rushers and that great defensive line that Denver has. And man, Wentz, he didn't care.
No.
Yeah. He absolutely did not care. He was just firing on all
And what Gelhar said, how he escapes the pocket, like, he does that so frequently every game. He's just a magician back there, like, escaping pressure and getting the ball off.
Right.
The short touchdown catch and run he threw to Corey Clement was one of those where it was like, oh, he's definitely going to get sacked. And he was just like, whoop.
Yeah, he's the epitome of the quarterback succeeding inside and outside of structure. Right
yeah,
now.
It was, and he's so good.
You know, he has his favorite weapon out in Zach Ertz. Well, then Alshon Jeffrey pops up.
Right.
Like, you know, that's the way the Eagles' offense is right now. They have multiple dimensions.
It's why those offseason signings and the emergence of Nelson Aguilar were also probably so important for Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah.
He was, I mean, he was an erratic player on his own last year, but
right.
he didn't have – Aguilar was a ghost. Like, he didn't have any options in the passing game.
From ghost to goat.
Oh, that sounds like a 30 for 30. What
it
if
does.
I told you?
NFL Films presents.
I like it. Jameis Winston hurt, re-injured his shoulder in that game against New Orleans. I think it deserves a longer conversation in terms of the Bucs because mm-hmm. they are absolutely tail-spinning right now. 2-6, they look lost offensively. They look, I mean, just they look horrible defensively as well. The offense just looks bad. So I will throw this out here, okay? Buy, sell, or hold. And let me just throw out the names, and you guys tell me buy, sell, or hold, and why. Jameis Winston, buy, sell, or hold. Matt Franchise.
I mean, I don't know if you can sell him, and I'm not buying him, so is I he would a hold him or drop him.
Okay.
I wasn't a Jameis Winston fan in fantasy coming into the season, but it's just kind of now he's injured and
yeah, get
I would drop him.
Yeah.
Well, sell drop. Can be a drop. You can sell him to
okay.
the waiver.
Okay, then sell. All
right.
sell him to the waiver wire for Jared Goff.
You're putting that old piece of furniture out on the
that's
street.
That's right. That's right. There you go. Buy, sell, or hold Jameis Winston.
Oh,
what's a
drop. Easy drop.
Drop.
Okay. Buy, sell, or hold Doug Martin.
Hold
for
now.
Do you feel like bigger things are ahead?
He was a sell for me a couple weeks ago because he had this string of tough matchups. Now he's out of that string of tough matchups. This game against the Saints was supposed to be a favorable matchup for him, mm-hmm. and he was Roto-World used the word bizarre for his usage in this game because he basically wasn't used in the second half.
He was not.
And it wasn't like they were losing by a huge margin. But he has
and
a
they
couple
had the backup quarterback in. You'd think they'd try to protect him a little bit but in the run game, but no.
He has a few more favorable matchups through the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I'm confident that they put him back in there as the feature back. This was just, like Roto-World put it, bizarre.
Buy, sell, or hold?
I'm holding as well. I don't understand why they keep forcing Charles Sims into these games in pass-catching situations. Like, maybe there's something we don't know about Doug Martin in these areas. I think he's been a pretty good pass catcher throughout his career.
Yeah.
So, like, I would hold. It seems like one of those situations where a coaching staff might be like, "What? We have this very talented player in our backfield. Why don't we give him more work to help protect the quarterback?" But he's also, like, in this day and age, he is still getting some volume his last few games, and, like, we can't run away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, under the, like, Doug Martin had 49 catches in his rookie year, and then in 2015 he had 33 catches. But other than that, he's never even crossed 20. It appears like, especially under the Dirk Cutter coaching staff, they do not want to use him as a pass catcher, and they like Charles Sims in that role.
So buy, sell, or hold Doug Martin?
I'm going to go with hold as well, too.
All right.
I mean, he's still theoretically a back that's going to get double-digit touches. Obviously, that didn't happen yesterday.
The volume,
All right, so this is the big one, right? Buy, sell, or hold Mike Evans, and we'll stay with you, Matt Harmon.
I'm going to go with buy on Evans. I don't think he has the ceiling that he had last year because, there's so many other options in this offense for them to go to. Also, this offense is playing like hell. but he was pretty consistently getting, 8-plus targets, double-digit targets going into this week. I think he completely ghosted. But, it's like you said with the Bucs right now, and I think Evans epitomizes this from what we saw yesterday, going after Marshawn Lattimore, whatever. Evan Silva tweeted out this morning a quote from the Ringer podcast, and I'm assuming Michael Lombardi said it. I haven't listened to the show. I'll try to do that later. But that he said everybody in the league knows the Bucs have given up. They've already quit. They've already quit on the year. And I feel like Mike Evans yesterday, in the middle of the game, for really no real reason, cheap shotting Marshawn Lattimore, that kind of epitomizes that. I'm still going to say buy, but I'm realizing that, I don't know, with I better be buying pretty low.
Now's the time to buy low on him.
I guess. It just, with these things, I always hate talking about, buy, sell, whatever, because it's so dependent on how
– on your league.
What the owner feels like.
And here's who else they have on their roster.
Well, here's the thing. When you have a guy like Mike Evans, okay, I mean the bottom line is it's easier actually to have these conversations of buy, sell, hold because these are the guys that you can move. Yeah. Or these are the guys that you can get. You know what I'm saying? When you're trading spare parts, like, you know, nothing against Juju Smith-Schuster, but like let's say you had a Juju Smith-Schuster, right?
Yeah.
No one really cares about those trades, and those trades are, I mean, quite frankly, those are harder to pull off, right? It's always trades that involve big names.
The big names,
it's
right.
Big names, those are the guys that get moved because either the owner's freaking out or somebody really wants them because they see the upside, whatever it might be. It's actually a hell of a lot easier to move the big names than it is your waiver wire guys.
Agree.
But buy, sell, or hold Mike Evans franchise.
I think I'm trying to sell him right now.
I mean,
especially if Jameis Winston's going to be out.
Or in and out. Yeah.
Eat it in and out. Eat at Arby's. It's just like, yeah.
Is he five guys?
He's getting the targets, but like Harmon said, his ceiling this year was 15.5 standard points in week 6 when he had 95 yards and a touchdown. And like, unless he's getting you a touchdown, he's become touchdown dependent. That's what he is now.
That's not good.
That's not good.
I think I'm trying to buy him and DeSean Jackson just because people's opinions of them are probably close to rock bottom.
Rock bottom. 2-6.
Jameis Winston is injured. However, you look at the upcoming slate of games, there are some beatable secondaries. They've got the Jets, Dolphins, Falcons, Packers, Lions.
All good matches.
Like, and especially if this team, their defense is bad, if they're in a negative game script, and if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick just up there chucking the rock, throwing some YOLO balls, like, we don't care if Ryan Fitzpatrick throws interceptions because, like, he's still going to throw it around. That high game that you mentioned for Mike Evans, Fitzpatrick was under center. So, right. You could get these guys for peanuts, and they have a good run here that could help try and launch you into the playoffs. In the fantasy playoffs, they do have to face Carolina at one point, but still.
Week 16.
If you got there, then you're fine.
That run of games leading up to it, that's a pretty juicy matchup slate.
How about I just wanted to get your reactions here to this Leonard Fournette thing, right? So Leonard Fournette was just out of nowhere inactivated by the Jaguars, benched reportedly for missing the team photo. I think Ian Rappaport had added some context to it. You know, he had missed a treatment or something. But the report out of the four letter was that Fournette was benched because he missed the team photo.
James, as I joked to you on Twitter,
what?
Can I introduce you to Tom Coughlin? Here's a headline from 2004. In Coughlin time, you can be early and still be late. Here's a headline from 2015. When you're on Tom Coughlin time, it gets late early. This is Coughlin's MO. He's an old school, hard nosed disciplinarian. So this doesn't surprise me in the least. What would surprise me is if Fournette messes up like this again and gets suspended. But I think this is just a whole dose to the whole team that under Coughlin and Marone, this crap doesn't fly.
Yeah.
So it sucked for this
culture. Still won the game though.
But we shouldn't be surprised because I said, Tom Coughlin. His entire coaching history has
done this.
It's
a team photo.
There was also
what's wrong with you guys?
James, he fined players. He would fine players for not being 15 minutes early to a meeting.
Man.
I think Michael Strahan once said he arrived 5 minutes early and got fined for being late.
Right.
It was a noon meeting. He arrived at 11:55 and got fined. That's Tom Coughlin.
Unbelievable.
There was also – go ahead, Hunter.
No, you go.
There was also some drama at the end of the game yesterday. The Jaguars beat the Bengals. But they went in victory formation inside the 10-yard line or something.
Right.
And on red zone, they showed a highlight of
Bortles.
Yelling at, I think it was Marone, on
basically
the sideline. He was very upset that maybe they didn't go for another touchdown there at the end of the game or something. So, you know, maybe they're laying down the hammer.
What was that all about, by the way?
I don't know.
I don't understand that because
the
game was over, right?
No, but I'm saying
the real life game was over. The victory formation.
The
game was over.
They won.
Is it that Blake Bortles wanted to get stats?
I think Blake might be feeling himself a little bit. And, you know, he kind of should. That was a season high in pass attempts yesterday with 38.
Okay.
He's actually strung together some pretty good games.
Yeah.
He had 95 yards on 14 attempts against the Steelers a few weeks ago. But since then, the last three games, 241 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 330 yards against the Colts and a touchdown. He's strung together some pretty good games here this year, and especially yesterday, you know, without their top pick at running back.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you ever wanted running back's actually not that important position argument, the Jaguars have offered it twice now in the last 3 weeks without Leonard Fournette. But anyways, it's a separate discussion. But Bortles goes out and posts, like I said, a season high in pass attempts, has a good game. They win convincingly, which they've done several times this year. I think Blake might have honestly just been feeling himself.
He might be a legit streamer down the stretch here. They play Cleveland, Arizona, Indianapolis, Seattle, Houston, San Francisco.
Oh, man.
After week 10.
Aside from Seattle, those are excellent matchups.
Yeah.
I mean, really, though?
I mean, if you're struggling at quarterback, man.
Look, Bortles is okay. is a punchline, but
he is.
I remember saying even before this season that like I think Blake is salvageable to the point of like being the 22nd best quarterback, you know, 20th best quarterback in the NFL. And that's not what you want out of a guy you picked in the top top 3, but it's better than the stone disaster that he was last season. And I think a lot, and it comes, you know, it also comes back to culture and what Tom Coughlin and these guys are trying to establish, because, you know, it was no secret that Blake Bortles didn't take preparation or anything like that seriously going into last year.
Got it.
And that things really went off the rails there. And I think you're seeing this all come together, and now they're sending a message to probably their most important offensive player right now that, hey, if you're either going to get on board or we'll go on and win. We'll smash the Bengals without you.
Right.
I wonder if it's a blessing in disguise, too, for him to get a little bit healthier from that ankle injury that he suffered. Kareem Hunt.
Can we get it 3 weeks?
Can we see can we talk about Kareem Hunt's usage here?
Nope.
9 carries.
No.
9 carries. He played on 53% of the team's offensive snaps against Dallas. 61 total yards. He hasn't scored since week 3. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter about, oh, it's the rookie wall. Has the league figured him out? And again, my thing is I'm just baffled by the usage. You can't play Kareem Hunt on 53%. I thought maybe it was an injury. But there's been no injury reported. We saw him on the last snap of the game, so obviously he was healthy enough to play at the very, very end of the game. I'm just, what the hell happened?
I think you may have deleted it from the rundown, but when you said he got Andy Reid-ed, I think you're right. Much like we were teasing poor franchise for his Steelers of all, every year playing down to an opponent.
Attacked.
Andy Reid does this as well with his featured backs at least once or twice a season.
Yes, he
did
does.
It. He did it with Shady McCoy. He did it with Brian Westbrook. So he's like, wow, I've got this all-world back. Let's just not use him.
He's done it plenty and with like, Jamal Charles,
there were,
too. Yeah.
There were a couple fantastic runs and some plays from Hunt in that game, but it's like they just decided not to go to him.
I mean, even if you're playing catch-up, I just don't understand.
He can catch.
Exactly.
But the problem is he can't block. Like, he was not a good pass blocker coming out of the draft. A lot of people talked about that.
Okay.
He hasn't gotten any better. So that's the big problem, is they don't want him back there in pass protection getting blown. And I realize there's more they can do with him, but they don't want him back there pass blocking getting Alex Smith blown up. They just trust Charkandrick West more in those situations.
But I guess where I have a problem with that line of logic is that then why is Charkandrick West going out into a route?
Because you can't be completely predictable. I don't know. Look, we're talking more than we understand in terms of NFL play calling, but I think that's the Chiefs' reason in this specific scenario. I'm always hesitant to just default to, like, coaching narrative.
The Dallas pass rush is really good, too, so they could have gotten concerned because Irving and Lawrence were getting home early in that game. So that could have flipped the script for them a little bit, too.
I thought that was their best, like, run defense performance that I've seen out of Dallas in a while, too. I mean, I realize he averaged 4.1 yards per carry, but I thought they really did a good job bottling him up on a couple plays.
I mean, Hunt right now, we're talking about buys and sells. He's definitely a buy low for me. I think I'm going to put him in trade calls this week.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
Because
freaking
out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, 100%. I mean, he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 3, and obviously he came out gangbusters. There is certainly some concern, I think, surrounding Kareem Hunt right now, but I don't think anybody in this room is concerned.
No.
No, right?
No.
It was just one of those weird games.
It was a weird game. And also, touchdowns are fickle beasts.
Right.
He scored a boatload of them early. He hasn't since. And the next player on the rundown is a further example of why touchdowns are fickle beasts.
Marshawn Lynch, I'll ask you this.
Beast mode.
Here's the thing. It's funny for me to say, is he back? And I know it's going to be met with a resounding no here.
Nope.
Right? But 14 carries, 57 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, the reason I'm a big time Marshawn Lynch fan, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
I think we all are.
But watching him run, I guess this is what I was saying yesterday to a buddy of mine, which is it's weird because Oakland's got a good offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm watching Marshawn Lynch run, and is he the same guy from 2013, 2014? No, but he doesn't look washed.
He's got that same style.
He still has
running guys over.
He still has a little bit left. He still has some.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Matt Forte. I'm watching Matt Forte run. I'm like, oh yeah, looks pretty good. Like, yeah. He looks like a good running back.
Right.
Objectively speaking, he looks like a good running back.
Yeah, the big difference to me was, you know, and surprisingly, coming off this suspension, I think you could have talked yourself into the fact, like, oh, maybe they just start phasing Lynch out of the offense.
Right. But sure.
They really actually committed to him. He was on the field for 57% of the plays yesterday. DeAndre Washington just 16%. Jalen Richard 21%.
That might be his highest.
I was going to say his highest. 57% has to be.
Yeah, it was definitely his highest of the season. I mean, this was the first game really this year that they were like, hey, we're gonna really commit to you as much more of just the clear-cut starter as opposed to, you know, a committee back.
I think game script has to do with it. The Raiders were leading the whole
game. I was going to say, looking at it, 51 of his total yards came in the second half. In the first half, Lynch had a grand total of 9 yards.
Right.
And they had a lead. They leaned on him. But we're going to have to pick and choose those game scripts in order to games to really trust Marshawn.
Yeah, in games where we've seen them going to the second half losing, he's pretty much sat on the sideline the entire second
half. Yeah, I mean, I knew it was all a second half game because I left before the first half was over, left here last night, and I obviously did not watch the game at home because I don't have my cable set up yet.
Yeah.
So I pulled up the game after it was over, and I was like, oh, wow, Marshawn popped up for a big one. But next few games, Patriots, Broncos, Giants, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles. There's a lot of mixed bag in there, too.
Maybe the Giants game, maybe you use them.
Maybe the Broncos, maybe?
I don't know.
I don't know what to think about the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos are like a team in the wilderness
defense
right now. It's in Oakland, too. I'd probably feel okay about that, but not feeling great about using them in a Patriots type of game.
Nope.
I don't really buy
a Mexico City game, too, I think.
Yeah, I don't really buy the Raiders as a good team either, so
no,
I'm going to get game scripted out a lot.
Yeah, and there were a couple good teams on that list, too. Like the Eagles don't want to touch Marshawn against the Eagles. They not only have a great run defense, but a phenomenal offense. And
in Kansas City, too, the Raiders get waxed by the Chiefs in Kansas City every single year.
I'll be the one person on the podcast that has a little bit more hope and optimism for Marshawn Lynch. Like I said, I don't know. It could, to me anyways, I wonder if it's a situation where he's starting to heat up, right? Like, at least we can at least build that. I could tell myself a story, as you say, Matt Harmon, of, okay, Marshawn Lynch took an entire year off, and now he's starting to get back into game shape. Now he's starting to get back into the flow. Now he's starting to understand, get used to that NFL speed again. It's just odd to me, man. Like, I'm watching him play, and I don't see a bad running back out there. I actually see a pretty good running back. And if this is the offensive line that we have come to know, I don't know. I'm at least intrigued in the back half of the season. That's all. All right. Let's stay in that game. Oakland took on Miami. Was it addition by subtraction? They trade away Jay Ajayi. I don't know. I mean, they looked a hell of a lot more consistent offensively, and they had a hell of a lot more juice in that run game as well. I mean, is it that they're back on track, or is it just a good matchup versus Oakland?
Raiders defense sucks.
It's Raiders defense for me, too. Also, like, juice in the run game, they had one big run from Kenyon Drake. Otherwise, if you look at it, Damon Williams, 7 rushes for 14 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And you take back that huge Kenyon Drake play, he's got, like, 8 rushes for, like, 18 yards or something. I'm just spitballing numbers. But it was not great otherwise, and I think this is a bigger instance of the Oakland defense than us buying into the Miami offense.
Yeah, same here.
Cuddy, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns for Jay Cutler. What the hell? What do you guys do with Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake? And I apologize to that fella online who asked me, should I play Damian Williams or whatever, whatever? And I was like, oh, I don't even think Damian Williams is playable.
Right.
I don't think Damian Williams is playable. He's going to be a backup running back in a horrible offense. You can't play this guy.
I think
that's a pretty good game.
So I think
I apologize.
With the Ajayi trade last week and 6 teams on bye, Drake and Williams were both startable in a lot of leagues because people needed help. Jordan Howard's out, Lev Bell's out.
True.
Guys like that. But I think with teams coming, I think there's 4 teams on bye this week.
Correct.
But like a lot of the bigger running back names are coming back. I don't know. I think you're going to have to pick and choose the matchups of when you're going to start Drake and Williams. And I think Williams is, you know, we were talking about this morning. Their touches were pretty much split 50-50.
Their snaps were pretty much split 50-50. Drake had a slight lead. They each had 6 targets. Yeah. They had like 9 and 7 carries. So, I mean, it's going to be like, and this is what I kind of wrote up in the matchups column, like, it depends on what you want to bank on. Drake is the better bet for a big play, which we saw in this week. But Williams is the better bet in the red zone because that's where he scored all 6 of his touchdowns last year. And guess what? They got in the red zone. They threw him a target. He scored this week. So
boom, boom.
It's just you have to hope that they're going to get there and give Williams the ball, or you're banking on a big play, and just both feel dicey in this offense.
They will be popularly added.
Right, I mean, like, Harmon's laughing.
No, I'm laughing because I'm looking at the just the box score from it. You know, 6 catches, 47 yards, 7.8 a catch for Damian Williams.
Uh-huh.
6 catches for 35 yards, 5.8 for Kenyon Drake. Their top receiver, theoretically, Jarvis Landry, also 6 for 32, 5.3 a catch. That's disgusting.
That's
by the way, don't chase Julius Thomas production in
no,
this game.
No.
Don't ever.
Yeah,
don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to the waiver wire, NFL.com/waiver wire. The author of this wonderful piece. If you're not reading this piece, you have not lived, my friends. NFL.com/waiver wire. Alex Gelhar, the WizKid from Wisconsin, break it down for us.
Well, leading off the waiver wire, he's still owned in a fair amount of leagues, but this guy's been dropped all over the place, is Thomas Rawls. Put him on the radar because this coming into this week, it was supposed to be Eddie Lacy week. That held true. He had 7 early touches. Yeah. Looked okay. I think he had like 34 yards on those. Groin strain,
yep.
Out.
Yeah.
What did you call him? Prosinactive the other day?
Yeah, CJ Pros.
Probably not coming back still. J.D. McKissick's more of just a Swiss Army knife kind of player. So yep. The Seahawks are on a short week going up against the Cardinals. Rawls could be available and will at least have volume, which is something that we want to chase because there are so many committees.
Well,
so.
Do we know what the injury status is for Eddie Lacy?
I don't know. It was pretty bad. He didn't come back. It's a groin injury. He didn't come
short
back,
week.
And it's a short week.
That
so.
Was very tilting.
That's why I'm saying it's probably a good one to go pick up Rawls.
Got it.
Deion Lewis coming off his bye. People should look to him.
Yeah.
Orleans Darkwa is like the best example of it ain't pretty, but it works in fantasy because he continues to lead the Giants running backs in playing time and touches. His 71 rushing yards were the 7th most of the week heading into Sunday Night Football, and nobody else surpassed him. So he's still ranked 7th on the week in rushing yards heading into Monday Night Football.
What a gross week for running backs.
No, but bad. I mean, so like in a standard league, especially like a flex, he got you like close to 8 points. Like, I mean, you could do worse.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Wide receiver-wise, it's time for more people to pick up Robert Woods. He's been very sneakily consistent. He's had 4-plus catches and 59-plus yards in 5 of his last 6 games.
Okay.
The Rams, next up for them, is a date with the Texans.
Ooh.
Pass defense is not good.
Hell
can
yeah.
Get shredded.
Goff and this offense are heating up, so I think Woods is going to be a great guy to pick up and give you some solid production. Same for Robbie Anderson. He's been a beast. And then the streamers this week,
okay.
It's he might not start. But Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback
Ooh.
Could be in the mix.
What?
As is George Kittle because they play the Giants.
Giddy-up.
So the Giants, once again, allowed a touchdown to a tight end.
Oh, my God. Tyler Higbee.
Like first quarter. First Rams touchdown to Tyler Higbee. So and everyone was like, yes!
Yep, there it is. Tyler
All of
Higbee.
Our dreams are coming
wow,
true.
Wow, what do you know? Tyler Higbee, touchdown against the Giants. So strange. Odd. Yeah. Was that his only catch?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Gerald Everett had a bunch of yards,
yeah,
too.
So great.
But the Giants continue. I think it's now 4.
Oh,
my God. 4 of the last 5 quarterbacks, I think, to play the Giants have thrown for 250-plus and 3 touchdowns.
Talk
at
amazing.
Least.
Talk about packing it in.
Oh, my God. They're done. Yeah.
Yeah. So he just put them on your radar. Like, they might still start C.J. Beathard, but
okay.
Those are guys
he had
circle.
A good game this week.
All right, let's talk about your top performers of the week at quarterback. Jared Goff was up there in the top 5, 3-11 passing, 4 touchdowns.
QB1, baby.
Hello!
Streamed him in a bunch of leagues and was so happy.
QB1!
Let's go!
My Rams.
Tyrod Taylor, 285 passing yards, 3 total touchdowns. He was working in the top 5
that's
as
his,
well.
That's his best
QB2.
Game. On, that's his best game on the road this year. They'd had some really drastic home road splits with their whole offense, but Tyrod got it done.
Well, talk about a stat line that lies.
Oh yeah, it was all garbage
that
time.
Was a lot of it was.
What was that game? 34-7.
34-7.
Oh yeah, 2 touchdowns came in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. But hey, doesn't matter for fantasy. Yeah.
Correct. I'm just saying I don't know that like Tyrod is never going to hit that ceiling again. Most likely.
Carson Wentz, 199 pass. This is such a weird stat line. 199 passing, so he didn't even get to 200, but he had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Amazing. Cam Newton, you want to talk about why rushing quarterbacks are so important and
seriously.
And just got borderline unfair in fantasy. 137 passing yards, okay? 137. 0 passing touchdowns. You're thinking to yourself, my God, he had a horrible game. Well, in real life, it wasn't that great. But 86 rushing yards and a touchdown absolutely saved his day. Unbelievable.
That's almost 15 points right there, just on the ground.
86 and a touch. That's a great running back production right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, oh, I had a running back, he gave me 86 and a touch.
That's
like, oh,
that's
great.
That's like Orleans Darkwell plus a touchdown.
That's unbelievable. Come on. Jay Cutler, as we mentioned, 311 passing and three touchdowns. He was working in the top 10 as well. All right, at the wide receiver position, T.Y. Hilton. Five receptions on nine targets, 175, and two touchdowns. Two big ones, by the way. Alshon Jeffrey, second week in a row, baby. Six catches, 11 targets, 84 yards, two touchdowns for Alshon Jeffrey.
Against Denver.
Against the no-fly zone.
Yeah.
Go get it. Robert Woods, 4 of 5, 70 yards, two touchdowns for Robert Woods. He had a big game. Nuke Hopkins. I laugh because of the efficiency. It's amazing. He had 16 targets. He caught six of them. Six for 16.
Oh, he was inches away from having it be seven with two touchdowns.
True.
Yeah. Like, because he had his feet positioned to tap,
know,
but
his other own heel blocked his
toe. Oh,
yeah. So
that would have been one of the touchdown catches of the year, I think.
I thought there was no chance in hell he got that ball.
By the way.
And I was like, oh, my God, he really got close.
To go back quick to T.Y. Hilton against the Texans, in 10 and three-quarter games against them, he has 60 receptions for 1,117 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Well, the good thing about T.Y. this year, I mean, he's been a nightmare in a lot of games. I mean, he was 40 yards the last three coming into this, but his three big games, including this one, have been pretty easy to spot.
Like, yeah, yeah.
They've been against terrible
Cleveland,
defenses,
San
Francisco, and they've all been either at home or this one, another like inside game. So
and they're always big. They're always like big plays. It's not like, oh, he catches a 10-yard, you know.
Yeah, he's going to like just go out and smash for big plays.
And his best games against the Texans, his top five have been 223 yards, 175 yards, 121 yards, 115 yards, 111 yards.
These are all against the Texans?
Damn. All against the Texans.
Jeez. Lord. Nuke Hopkins, 6 for 16, 86 yards and a touchdown. Doug Baldwin put in work as well, 7 for 11, 108 yards and a touchdown for him.
Harmon, you had just pause on Doug Baldwin, because you had an interesting note in targets and touches on him, how like he's had big volume the last few weeks, but it was like his floor isn't going to bottom out on you, but like he still has good ceilings. He had like 90 in a touch and like his big 100 in a touch game.
Well, that's like the Doug Baldwin experience. Like the last few weeks have been the epitome of it. You know, he's had 12, 10, 12 targets over the last few weeks. Yeah, he had the 92 in a touch, but sandwich in between there is this like six catch, 54-yard game that's just like, I don't really want to take that from a guy that I drafted in the second round, but that's the Doug Baldwin experience. Like, he's going to legit blow up, and his floor is not a crisis, but
it's disappointing, but it's not like the two catch 11-yard game some other wide receivers will give
Michael
you.
Michael Thomas, we're looking at you, pal.
He had one game like that. Is he your new Mark Ingram?
No, absolutely not. I love Mike Thomas.
You attack the Saints.
I do.
Really do
throughout your career.
But wait, what? No, that's inaccurate.
He does love Kamara, though.
Yeah. Well,
I like Kamara. I like Drew Brees. I like Mike
Just
Thomas.
Because he's anti Mark Ingram, really.
I like Darren Sproles back in the day.
So just Mark Ingram.
It's really Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Pierre Thomas, remember him? I loved him.
Nope.
I loved the PT Cruiser.
Okay. Wow.
All right, forget it.
PT Cruiser?
Yeah, Pierre Thomas.
Kamara?
Oh, the PT Cruiser? No,
both cars.
Car-mara?
Car running back?
Okay.
I'm going to leave this podcast if you don't.
No, Camaro.
Back on track.
Camaro. Camaro.
Stop.
Camaro! Yes!
That's what I was getting at.
Nailed it.
Not car.
Can we talk about Nuke Hopkins very quickly?
No.
Reason for optimism here, given the volume, and again, I think a lot of folks were kind of freaking out about Nuke, and I think the freakout was warranted for somebody like Will Fuller, who didn't see a lot of volume. But what we've seen with Tom Savage now, even in week one, where he fed Nuke 16 targets.
Oh, yeah.
This is another game where he fed Nuke 16 targets.
He did it last year, too. I think in that first game he came in, he pummeled him with targets.
So reason for optimism, given the target share.
Well, Hopkins, I wrote this when I wrote up the Deshaun Watson injury reaction piece. Like, Hopkins is not going to be a top five wide receiver anymore, but he's still going to be a pretty decent wide receiver too, even low end, maybe wide receiver one, because of that volume. I mean, 16 targets, of course, he only caught six of them for 86 yards and a touch. Like you mentioned, that's horribly inefficient, but with that volume is going to keep him afloat.
Right.
Now, Will Fuller, on the other hand, he still saw eight targets yesterday,
which is pretty good.
That's pretty good. But with getting – I mean, he's a deep threat if he's got such a big downgrade at quarterback. His floor bottoms out. Hopkins' floor does not bottom out to the point where he's not still a player that you're starting every single week.
I'm sure Fuller will have an occasional blow-up game, but it's going to be a lot harder to pick, and they're not going to come as frequently as they did with Watson.
Right, yeah, exactly. And again –
which was every game.
I talk about the inefficiencies with New Kopka. I don't think it's him, okay? I'm just saying it's not. He's not getting high-quality targets, obviously, from Tom Savage.
It's not so much that it's him, but these type of receivers that are clearly just almost exclusively boundary guys that work across the sideline, get these low percentage targets. Like, it's a little bit of him too, but not like I'm saying that he's a bad player, but just his style of play comes into factor with that efficiency.
Real quick, I just total changes because I was thinking about this as we were talking about before with the Dolphins running backs. But if you have a reason to sell one of your Dolphins players or not to pick up the running backs, their upcoming slate, they have Carolina, New England twice, Denver, the Bills, and the Chiefs. And the Bills and the Chiefs games are both on the road. That's not a great slate because it's also both offenses that should put up points on Miami or defenses that could shut them down. It's a disastrous end-of-season schedule.
Mix.
Doesn't look good. Jeremy Maclin, 8 of 9, 98 yards. Now, you know, he didn't necessarily pop up huge on a lot of people's radars unless you played in PPR because that's a really big game in PPR. But are you guys interested potentially here in Jeremy Maclin maybe getting healthier here, maybe Joe Flacco getting a little bit healthier as the season rolls along too? Any interest in Jeremy Maclin long term?
I was glad to see that you put this on the rundown when I opened it 5 minutes before the show started. because I am buying in on Jeremy Maclin a little bit. Since he missed the Week 7 game against the Vikings, he has 11 catches for 151 yards and a touchdown in the last two games. And, you know, that's also including a second half against the Dolphins where
– I don't think he was targeted, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett was under center.
I think he is starting to cook a little bit here. He's seen 62% of his targets from the slot this year. That's historically a very valuable role in the Ravens offense. The only caveat, of course, with this particular line, if you look at the Ravens pass game, Joe Flacco doled out 52 pass attempts. That's not going to be the situation that you normally see, but I think that's going to bring down guys like Ben Watson, who's not doing anything.
Well, realistically, though, I mean, the Ravens do, even though they feel like they're a run-first team, they really haven't been for the last two seasons. I mean, whatever it is, game script or whatever it might be, they throw the ball a lot.
They led the league in pass attempts
last
year.
That's right. They led the league in the pass attempts last year. I think they're leading the league in pass attempts this year. So
this
volume will be high.
This year they've seemed to want to – they did, like, at the beginning of the year especially, seem to really want to dial that back and be a much more balanced offense.
But I
think if anybody's going to inherit volume in this offense, it's going to be Jeremy.
Also –
because the rest of these guys – oh, my God. Breshad Perriman, what a freaking nightmare.
upcoming slate. Is either it's five of his next six games are great matchups or like pretty good matchups.
Okay.
Got, they're in their bye week in week 10, but after that, at the Packers, home against Houston, home against Detroit, at Pittsburgh, no thanks.
Nope.
At Cleveland, hell yeah. And then home against Indianapolis, let's go in
the
fantasy playoffs.
16. That's pretty nice.
Really good.
Especially because the Ravens are on their bye week.
He could heal up.
He could heal up, and also typically it's probably easier to buy players when they're on their.
Yes,
buys. Yeah.
100%.
You're taking something that's not going to give you anything right away.
Right. All right. At running back, your top performers: 152 total yards for Alvin Kamara, 2 touchdowns for him. Corey Clement.
Right. Yeah. What?
66 total yards, 3 touchdowns for Corey Clement.
Do not chase.
The craziest thing about Corey Clement, too, was that there was speculation that he might actually be the guy that gets cut or pushed into the practice squad because when they brought in Jay Ajayi, but here he is, 3 touchdowns. Unbelievable.
I think he led the backs in playing time, too, this week.
Crazy.
It's also fair to note that they were blowing the...
Oh, yeah, exactly. That all plays into it.
That game would never end for whatever. It's just like...
Yeah, it was super
so long. Todd Gurley, 104 total, 2 touchdowns for him. Matt Forte... The ageless one, man. He's playing well, guys.
That was a streaky wheel gets the grease.
He is playing well.
And against Buffalo's defense, which nobody saw that coming either.
96 total yards and 2 touchdowns for Matt Forte. Yeah. He's playing really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Marshawn Lynch also cracking into the top 10. 57 yards, 2 touchdowns, as we talked about. All right. At the tight end position, Evan Engram. 4 of 10, 70 yards, touchdown for him. I was very curious to see what the target share would be once Sterling Shepard came back. The volume was still there, so it's all good.
It was all the two of them. They had 10 and 9 targets.
Yep, it's all good. Jared Cook, 8 of 9, 126 yards for Jared Cook against Miami. Julius Thomas, again, we talked about it, don't chase it, 6 of 8, 84 yards and a touchdown for Julius Thomas. Travis Kelce, 7 of 9, 73 yards and a touchdown for Travis Kelce. Can we talk about the biggest disappointments? I felt like there was quite a few, actually. At least a few really, really, really big names. And we'll start at wide receiver. The two big ones, and I tweeted out yesterday that these two gentlemen, Mike Evans and A.J. Green, they got more points for you in fantasy UFC than they did in fantasy football.
Truth.
Mike Evans, 1 of 6.
Gross.
13 yards. A.J. Green, 1 reception. 6 yards.
I actually did see UFC, their main account, tweeted about A.J. Green breaking down his play.
That was nice.
Like, got the takedown, got a little G&P in there.
Sure, absolutely. Like, oh, was doing a little went for the rear naked. It was good. It was solid.
Our own Patrick Claibon tweeted out yesterday, like, you never want to be as fed up as A.J. Green was yesterday. Because he, like, they even shot him, like, as he was leaving the field after this, when he knew he was getting thrown.
Oh, my.
And he just had the look of, like, I don't even care. Worth it. Worth
oh,
it.
Man.
Like, I'm sure this season has probably been exhausting. Being a Bengal his entire career has probably been exhausting.
True, true.
So, yeah, man. It's
all right, so what do you do with – we talked about Mike Evans, but what do you guys do with A.J. Green?
Well, Green's probably going to get suspended. I would be surprised if he doesn't get suspended.
I didn't think about that one.
This is also a tough matchup for wide receivers coming in.
Yeah. Oh, impossible.
Jalen Ramsey. So you kind of had to be tempering expectations coming
Jalen
in. And
Ramsey
then he gets
get
tossed,
kicked out, by the way. Like, what?
I don't know.
I mean, he pushed him from behind, but it was – I mean, come on.
I'm sure that Ramsey had some words that instigated this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh,
fair enough.
There were reports
fair
of what he was saying, too.
Fair enough. Was,
yeah. Which
– not good?
Probably goes on a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. At the running back.
Don't clutch your pearls over this. Like,
right.
Oh,
no.
How could Jalen Ramsey say this? Like, give me a break. I don't even want to know half the things that are said on the field.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I kind of do, but most people probably
don't. Oh, you totally want to. Are you kidding?
Most people probably don't.
I'd love to hear that.
You have to love it if you're a Jags fan, though, just quick aside, because, like, you've got this top pick who's one of the best in the league, and he's just playing with a swagger, and he's, like, annoying the hell out of these wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like, he's talking the talk and walking the walk, though.
Right,
so.
That's the thing, yeah. It's not like Janoris Jenkins when he did something similar to Steve Smith a few years ago, and then Steve Smith went out and roasted
and
him.
Put him on blast, all of the media.
The Bengals offense put up 148 total yards.
Yeah,
not
dude,
good. Only
bad.
Ran 39 plays.
Oh, my goodness.
They only ran
39 plays?
The Jags, like, doubled them up.
Oh, my.
Well, they can't pass the ball, especially against this pass defense, and they can't run the ball ever.
True.
So... yeah, it's kind of hard.
I mean,
to stay
it's crazy because
the
they drafted John Ross 8th overall, and they
wait,
don't.
Wait,
what
is a healthy scratch?
They don't play him.
Oh, healthy scratch, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
They're just they're not playing
him.
Yeah, insane. Like, their offense, I know our friends in the ATN podcast said it, but they're so dependent on A.J. Green.
Yeah.
Like, with Tyler Eifert out, not playing John Ross, the backfield giving them nothing.
Yeah.
What did Tyler Kroft get? The Bengals had 100 and
I think he got 50-something yards.
He had 50-something yards?
I think he had 59 yards. He had, like, one big reception.
Neat. That's funny. I would, because I have Tyler Kroft in a couple different spots, and I'm like, oh, he didn't have too bad of a game. But
also, real quick, on the Bengals looking ahead, they've got Broncos, Steelers, Bears, and Vikings in 4 of their next 6 games.
Oh,
that
God.
Is a rough stretch of defenses.
Oh, good God.
Kroft had 79 yards on 2 catches.
If I have A.J. Green, man, I mean, I'm doing whatever I can to move that guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy.
I'm doing whatever the hell I can to move that dude.
It's hard to say that with a player as good as A.J. Green with – pretty much locked in volume when he's not getting tossed, but
I mean he hasn't been. but he hasn't been bad in fantasy
no.
this year.
Well,
so
I
mean,
which is why I'm shopping him.
But it's just this could be a sky is falling situation for this offense.
That's
too.
What I'd be worried about.
I guess. Yeah, I would disagree. I think that they can keep it afloat to the point where Green is still fine. I mean, nobody else is going to be fine, but I think Green will be fine.
All right, at the running back position, Devontae Freeman versus Carolina, 64 total yards. Shady McCoy versus the Jets, 25 yards for Shady McCoy. Where the hell did that come from? Doug Martin versus New Orleans, 8 carries, 7 yards as we broke down. DeMarco Murray versus Baltimore, 41 yards for him. And C.J. Anderson, 9 carries, 13 yards. Oh, boy. Let me talk to you guys about Devontae Freeman very quickly. Has not scored.
I don't
scored.
Want to. It hurts my heart.
It does hurt very, very badly, actually. Thank you, Steve Sarkisian, for ruining fantasy football in Atlanta. No, but Devontae Freeman hasn't scored in 4 weeks. I'll ask you guys about this. How much long-term concern do you have? I mean, I get that touchdowns are fickle beasts, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is Atlanta does not look the same offensively. No. As a matter of fact, they look completely lost. Matt Franchise, your thoughts on Devontae Freeman?
He was, before this game, I had him in trade calls last week as a trade four because he's got a decent schedule. Games against Tampa Bay, the Saints, Tampa Bay, and the Saints again in like the final 5 weeks of the fantasy season,
okay,
including the playoffs. But I mean, he was on the field for, I think, over 70% of the plays. They're just not giving the ball to the best players. The offense is busted.
I mean,
I'm majorly concerned, yes.
15 touches this week, 13 touches last week, 15 the week before that.
13 times? What?
And then 11 the week before that.
You can't
do
that.
And he can catch. Like, he's a really good receiving back.
Exactly.
Like, use him to his skill set.
And it's weird because their pass attack, like, isn't, you know, has not obviously been lighting the world on fire either. So
I think that might be the big deficiency in his production, because you look at his
his
carries, he's about on pace to finish with what he had last
year for
rush attempts, but target wise he had 97 2 years ago,
97?
65 last year. Jeez. Yes, and then he's only on pace for 48 this year,
right? So Shanahan versus Sark,
it's continuing to trend down, so he's getting fewer opportunities and the offense is worse, so that he's not as efficient with those opportunities.
You know, and it's like Tevin Coleman.
They're
not
using him.
From a workload perspective,
no, no.
He had six yesterday.
He had a touchdown, but he had five or six touches, you said?
Five carries for 5 yards.
Yeah, and a 19-yard touchdown.
Correct, a 19-yard touchdown.
And it was like a garbage time touchdown.
Oh, man.
So you have an offense that's not getting into the red zone as often, that's not giving the ball to their best player as often, and it's...
When they were in the red zone the first few weeks of the season...
They gave it to him.
Freeman was getting all the goal line touches.
Which makes sense.
Right. And he was scoring, and like it was great. And now he's just fallen off a cliff.
I mean, yeah, you look at the offense's scoring output. They've had their last six or five games, they've put up 17, 17, 7, 25, and 17. Hmm. That is
not a lot to go around.
That's tough to live on. Like, that's Bengals' offensive production.
Right.
Not good. Can I ask you guys about C.J. Anderson?
He's got
one total touchdown on the season. Again, coming off of a week where he had 9 carries for 13 yards. It also seems as if Denver is determined to get Jamaal Charles on the field, determined to get Devontae Booker on the field as well. Is C.J. Anderson, is he a drop? Straight up drop. I will go around the horn and ask each and every one of you, Alex Gilhar.
You could, depending on the league. I may still want to hold on. The whole offense is broken.
Yeah.
And, like, they're splitting up carries in a disastrous fashion for fantasy.
12-team league.
It depends on who you're adding. I think if you have enough space at running back and you're adding a piece that you're going to be starting, sure. Just outright drop him to clear space for, like, a second defense or a backup quarterback? Like, no.
Man Arm.
Not a player that I really super care about holding.
Okay.
I don't think he's a drop, but we were talking about, like, Marshawn Lynch is game script dependent, and the Broncos have not been winning games. I mean, 51-23
They've lost 4 games in a row.
Good God.
He's not gonna get the ball in the second half if they're losing by 30
and
points.
This was the first game in their last. Oh my God! This is the first time in their last 6 games they've scored more than 20 points.
And they have problems at quarterback, and Emmanuel Sanders has been hurt, and like with Brock Osweiler starting games now,
and it could be Paxton Lynch too. So yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah, like Paxton Lynch is not some like savior either.
No.
I mean, he clearly lost the job to Trevor Siemian in the preseason.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't have a problem dropping C.J. Anderson. It's just like it's one of those ones where I would have to look at who I'm picking up.
I think the right side of that offensive line has been absolutely ravaged by injuries as well. Not the fortunes for Denver right now don't look great, man.
Bleak.
It's
over.
They do not look good. All right, let's get into ADG Tanklewires. We'll stay in the NFC South. Bucks taking on New Orleans. The Saints, again, very, very run heavy. They ran on 55% of their plays.
Yeah.
We talked about the Bucks a ton. Matt Franchise, give me your takeaways from the New Orleans side.
Yeah, so Alvin Kamara's 152 scrimmage yards were the most by a Saints player in any game this year.
Yeah, buddy.
And our research team provided us with this cool stat.
Is it a cool stat nugget? Is it hashtag crazy?
So the Saints rush offense before and after their week 5 bye.
Okay.
So before their week 5 bye, yes. 23 rush attempts per game after 33.
Boom!
Before rush yards per game, 94. After rush yards per game, 151.
Boom!
Before rush touchdowns, 1. After rush touchdowns, 7.
Boom!
And as you mentioned, 51% rush play percentage before the bye was 37%. So
crazy.
They're using their running backs.
Yeah.
It's the lowest production of in a Drew Brees era for him.
Right.
You know, Michael Thomas has a floor, but he doesn't have much of a ceiling.
I saw a good tweet from our
Ted
buddy
Ginn scored a touchdown.
Ari from Football Guys, who said Michael Thomas is going to be the most productive fantasy player ever to not win you a single week.
Yeah.
And I was like, true. That's at, like, you're going to see his season end total and be like, man, he had some,
yeah, it was pretty
good. Like, never really bottomed out on me, but then you're like, yeah, he also never, like, won me a week.
Doesn't have 100 yards yet this season.
Doesn't even have 90.
But, you know, what's he going to do? He's going to be like an 1150 and 5 guy? Is that what he's going to be?
Probably, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You're starting Kamara and Ingram every week. Like, Ingram had those two fumbles last week, but he was still used. I think earlier in the game, I actually think Kamara got the first snap. So technically, he was the starter.
Okay.
But he also fumbled in this game. Yeah, so, you know, running backs are going to fumble. Deal with it, Sean Payton.
although, to be fair, he did get punched square in the jaw on that fumble. So that probably
that might affect you.
That
but,
might
dude,
affect it.
Yeah, James,
he is a beast.
Actually, Michael Thomas pretty much on pace for 1,100 yards and 4 touchdowns right now.
Oh, no.
Damn.
All right. So the Rams, they were in the Meadow. Excuse me. They were taking on the Giants.
MetLife.
MetLife, not the Meadowlands.
Snoopy, bro.
Yeah, I know.
It's MetLife. Get Met at pace.
I can't do it. 51-17, your final score. 51-17, your final score.
250 burgers yesterday.
I mean, just insane. Alex Gill, how are your takeaways from
The Rams' offense is great. And Jared Goff's going to have some great upside streaming the rest of the way. Todd Gurley's locked in. And in favorable game scenarios like this, we can look back to the pass catchers. Didn't Sammy Watkins only had the one catch for the touchdown, though?
Right. Dime.
Oh, it was a beautiful throw.
Oh, my God.
It was
what a dime.
Throw.
Beautiful throw. As for the Giants, like, really, there are three players we're interested in from fantasy. We talked about Evan Ingram. Sterling Shepard came back, saw 9 targets. I think he caught 5 for 70. And then Darkwa in the backfield. And, like, that's basically it. We don't have to talk about this game anymore.
There you go. Atlanta taking on Carolina. McCaffrey was much better on the ground. 66 yards rushing on 15 carries. Good for a 4.4 yards per carry average. Matt Harmon, your takeaways from this game.
Yeah, McCaffrey actually looked like a real NFL running back.
Actually gave him some power plays, too, which is good.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Stewart's too early, like, just back-breaking fumbles really kind of put them in a spot where it's like, all right, we just need to feature McCaffrey as the runner here.
Yeah.
And it worked. I think he was able to get into a rhythm. The run blocking was also much better. I believe this was, per Next Gen Stats, the second best yards before defenders closed in on them that they posted this season. So good news for McCaffrey. Hopefully it continues. In the passing game, Devin Funchess really did step right up. And he led the team in targets. He had over 80 yards receiving. I think he's an every week wide receiver 2 play now with Benjamin gone. And Curtis Samuel did lead the team in wide receiver playing time.
Eventually. Wow. Interesting.
That was true. I mean, Ian Rapoport did tweet out like he's going to get the big bump with Kelvin Benjamin gone, and snaps did shoot right up. I think eventually that is going to manifest itself into a big game. So he is worth adding on waivers this week.
Nice.
He was in the waiver wire.
I like it. Indianapolis taking on Houston in H-Town. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
I mean, Jacoby Brissett and T.Y. Hilton roasted him. I mean, it was kind of, you know, Jacoby was on my streamers just because Houston had given up so many points to so many big quarterback performances, and it paid off. On the Houston side of the ball, huge downgrade for the entire offense. At least, you know, we talked about D-Hop and Will Fuller, and I think it was Tom Savage's first career touchdown pass.
Yep.
I think it was.
It was.
Which is crazy because he's like played a lot.
I feel like we've been talking about Tom Savage's name for like 3 years.
He's been around a lot, but he's really only played the last 2 years, like the last 2 years.
Yeah, he had like 2 starts and 3 appearances or something last year, and then he had the 1 start this year. So,
But still,
first one in even in like 4 games, that's not good.
He's been around since 2014. So,
and one other note here: Jack Doyle had 9 targets, 8 catches, 63 yards, 26 receptions over his last 3 games.
Yeah, dude.
And his last 4 games, his target totals have been 4, 7, 14, and 9. So he's averaging over 10 targets per game.
He had like a little bit of a hand slump in the middle part of the season, but now he's just
come back.
That Titans game, he dropped a few
Because the thing was, he
caught a touchdown
coming
pass,
into this year. He was one of the most reliable tight ends in terms of catch rate. And he had a little bit of a hands issue for a few games there, and now he just seems like he's fully back. So it's good to see.
High volume tight end. So.
Don't remind me about that Colts Titans game, please, because had Dante Moncrief caught that touchdown, I would have gotten off the Schneid earlier in the Fantasy Life League.
Sorry, pal.
I was tilting that game.
Oh, boy.
It's bad.
Washington at Seattle. Alex Gilhar, what do you got?
This was a game where, like, the defenses came to play, and it was kind of surprising. Like, Russell Wilson ended up with a pretty solid stat line at the end, but that was buoyed by, like, 80 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. He had a couple of bad picks.
Washington-wise,
Josh Doctson continues to make plays. It's really hard. I mean, he only finished with, I think, like 59 yards.
And five targets.
And so it's still really hard to try and, like,
but
bank.
He looks good.
To try and bank on a awesome Washington wide receiver, because they like, max out at, like, six targets a week. Like, that Jamison Crowder game last week or whatever was an aberration. But if there's one you want to try and buy in on, like, we're starting to see more vintage TCU Josh Doctson, and I think that's exciting. And as long as Jordan Reed's out, Vernon Davis is going to be a plug-and-play guy.
Vernon Davis, what a freaking stud.
That guy's turning back the clock. Like, he makes plays every week that I'm like, is this 2009? Like, what the hell's
what's
happening?
What's happening?
Vernon Davis was drafted in 06, right? 05?
I don't know.
Yeah.
06. 06. It was the 06 draft.
Yeah, he's been around.
Not a great game for Chris Thompson.
No.
No, well, he finally came back to earth. But, man, I mean, I guess it was semi-predictable given on the road in Seattle, but still disappointing, no doubt about it. All right, the Cardinals taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Carlos Hyde, 125 total yards, got kicked out late for being part of a fight. Also caught nine.
Yesterday.
I know, a lot of fights yesterday, man. Caught nine of his 11 receptions. Matt Harmon, what say you in this game?
Yeah, interesting in the 49ers passing game without Pierre Garçon on he is on IR now.
Indeed.
Marcus Goodwin and Aldrick Robinson both came away with 8 catches. Unfortunately, they split up 2 catches apiece.
8 targets, you mean?
Yeah. Eight targets for both of them and 2 catches for both of them.
Ew. What?
Yeah, so not great there. This passing offense is pretty broken. I don't know when – I mean, they have Jimmy Garoppolo there now. I don't know when we're going to see him. Kyle Shanahan's obviously made no promises.
He's been very coy.
But you would think eventually we'll see him. But, my God, they can't pass protect at all. You know, are you really going to throw him out there and just have him get killed?
The Cardinals don't have a good pass rush, and every time I looked at that game, Beathard was running for his life or getting hit as he was throwing just getting sacked.
It was already a bad offensive line, and then Joe Staley was injured too, so it was just not great.
Yeah, it's real rough. And then Adrian Peterson, a career-high 37 carries, unbelievable that we're
That's a career-high?
Yeah, yes. Unbelievable that we're seeing that in the year 2017, but this was a pretty predictable, like, AP was going to have a big game, you know.
Right.
They're playing against a weak rush defense. It's
they run a lot more with Stanton.
Yeah, and just in general, I mean, this was a game that clearly wasn't going to get away from the Cardinals, considering they're facing the C.J. Beathard-led 49ers.
What did he put up? What, 130 total?
159 yards. He did catch 2 passes for 8 yards.
Only running back to have over 100 rushing yards.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing.
Ultra weak.
I like definitely, like, I'll probably be benching Peterson if you can next week, because they play on Thursday night in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, after being that, like, an old running back getting 37 carries in one game, that's a prime, like, he comes back and hits 11 carries for 19 yards.
Yep.
And in the passing game, Drew Stanton, he was not miserable. He made some throws.
I thought it was funny, too, because he looked good in the first quarter.
Right. But, again, he made a 52-yard throw to John Brown, who that was his only catch of the day. He made a pretty nice play on the run for Jerron Brown.
100%.
He got lucky on that touchdown.
Yeah. Did he?
That is the type of throw that, like, 9 times out of 10 that gets intercepted, because he's just running and he throws up a, like, soft lob there to the end zone. It worked but, like, I was watching that and I was like, how did that not get picked?
And Fitz kind of had the DeAndre Hopkins effect, where he had 9 targets, which was able to get him 5 for 70 as Florida didn't bottom out. But, of course, the caveat must be given that this was against the 49ers.
Indeed, indeed. KC at Dallas. We talked about this game a little bit here, but franchise, what else did you get?
Yeah, we talked about Kareem Hunt. Alex Smith threw his first pick of the season, but still finished as the QB11 with 18 points. So if you started him, you know, decent.
It was okay.
Tyreek Hill had a stupid touchdown on the last game of the first half.
Last play of the first half.
Last play of the first half, where Dallas was playing prevent D and the number picked off a short pass, and it was basically like a, you know, like a punt return for Tyreek Hill.
It was like a screen pass.
Yeah, and you know, I looked up and I was like, oh, Tyreek Hill just caught a pass. There's no one around him. Oh, they're playing prevent. And I looked away from my screen and I looked up again and he's in the end zone.
It was
unbelievable. I was like, what are you doing, Cowboys?
It was a great play call by the Chiefs because, like, they put their most electric player in space.
Yes.
Into space with a couple blockers, and we're like, all right, this is better odds than Hail Mary. Just make a guy or two miss, and guess what he did?
It just happened to be in space 30 yards down the field.
Right.
Yeah. What are you guys doing, Dallas?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Dallas? I mean, I get that it's a good play call, but
prevent
still.
Prevent defense remains the worst.
And I feel
what
like,
are you doing, Dallas?
I feel like we talked about Tyreek's volatility on Thursday's show, but, I mean, this was just a lucky play where, you know, it worked out. And Kelsey's scored a touchdown.
Yep.
Zeke had 97 yards and a touchdown.
Yep.
We'll monitor his status this week. I'm pretty sick of that storyline.
Yeah.
Dez left the game with an ankle injury, believed to be serious.
As did Terrence Williams.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that, but yeah. He had 141 yards.
Caught all nine of his targets. I mean, the Chiefs continue to just get ripped up by wide receivers.
Yep.
Terrence Williams, 9 for 141.
Yes.
Dez Bryant, 6 for 73. Cole Beasley 4 for 24.
And two touchdowns.
The only wide receiver, only one who was not a wide receiver to put a production for Dallas yesterday was Jason Witten, and it was just one catch for 5 yards.
Right. Boom.
There
you go. Sunday Night Football, Oakland taking on Miami. I feel like we've broken down this game quite a bit. But, Alex Gailhart, what else you got?
Well, just real quick takeaways on the passing game side because we spoke more about the running games. Devontae Parker came right back, saw 8 targets, and rather predictably, Kenny Stills disappeared with both Jay Cutler back in the lineup and Devontae Parker back.
Yeah.
He just had 4 targets and got 3 of them for 28 yards. So he's back to kind of being a drop now. Total dart throw. On the flip side, Jared Cook is emerging as a trustworthy option in this Raiders passing attack. He's gone for over 102 of his last 3 games, and the one in between he had still had like 50 yards. So that's tight end production. Excuse me.
Tight end's such a
laughing
mess.
About Jared
chuckling?
Cook.
What?
No, you're
it's just Jared Cook, but like
no, you're Miami. Right. It's just like what freaking universe are we living in that we're talking about? Like Jared Cook is a reliable tight end start, but you're right.
Miami is susceptible to
tight end. They are. Tight ends are a disaster, but and Cook's
funny.
Getting
tight
some good
ends are a disaster.
I think the Oakland passing game kind of disappointed me as a whole in this. Johnny Holton caught the one touchdown. Cooper had 4 for 58. They just missed on a couple more big plays, but Crabb only three catches on 4 targets for 40 yards.
Mari Cooper had another drop. He's got 10 on the season. What? Wow. That's crazy.
Weird.
That's insane. All right. So Denver and Philly, we talked about ad nauseum.
There was one note we need to get to from Denver, Philly.
What's that?
Emmanuel Sanders won Gelhar and I the saddest beer bet.
Woo!
It's going to taste so good, baby.
Was it one catch for 30 yards
versus one catch
Mac
for
Collins?
8 or one catch for 6?
One catch for 8. One catch for 8 versus great, one great, catch for 30.
Great bet, guys.
Although, and if you
oh
want,
my God.
If you want a real bet. Take out
what
of it,
what is
though,
the
Mac Collins did play 45% of the plays.
That's the most he's played all
time. Torrey Smith play? Do you know?
43. And that could have been, again, because the Eagles were smashing. And
yeah,
that's
backups
true.
In. But his star has steadily been ascending.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
So James might have jumped the gun.
1 for 8 versus 1 for 30. Unbelievable. It's funny, too, because you guys were like, oh, I won the you guys came up to me and was like, oh, we won the beer bet. And I'm like, I don't even remember what the beer bet was. And then B.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, I know. And then B, it's like, well, okay, what was it? And then it was like Emmanuel Sanders versus Matt Collins. It's like, oh, Matt Collins got 8. What did Emmanuel Sanders get? 30. We're like, what?
On one catch.
That is so gross,
very,
man.
Very, very sad.
Unbelievable. Cincinnati and Jaguars, we broke down quite a bit. As well. All right, let's get to Daily Daps and get out of here.
Daps.
Daily Daps.
Daps.
Alex Gailhart, what do you got?
A couple Daps. Daily Daps to my pal, Matt Harmon, the end of our era.
Oh, Casa Gailhart.
It is
in the dirt.
And we had to move this weekend, which was awful. Undaps to our couch for being too large to get out of the apartment.
But how did you
sell
you get
it
in?
We had professional movers that came in that brought it in from like the furniture store, but it was also like super wrapped and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little more compressed. We battled that thing for like a good 45 minutes trying to get it out.
Yeah.
Could not figure it out. Got frustrated. Then we moved all the rest of our crap in like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. The rest of it was just the biggest breeze of all time, but that thing. This is going to go double as my dap, too, because, like,
so undaps
to that freaking couch. That thing, we were at one point considering, like, can we just can we get this over the balcony somehow? And Gelhar looks back at me like, this is going to end a disaster, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, we need to not.
Did you sell it? Or?
Well, no, we were going to sell it to a friend of mine just for some like pennies, basically, to get it out. But we couldn't get it out of the apartment. So now it's just going to be a case.
Oh, you couldn't even get it out?
No, it's still in the old.
Oh, my God.
We don't know where we're
I'm not joking. Like, we couldn't get it out. So we're going to call like Salvation. Well, no, that's so here's the next two steps. We either we're going to call the Salvation Army because they'll have people come pick it up and just donate it for a good cause and get rid of it there. If they can't,
how the hell are they going to get it?
I don't know. If they can't, well, because they might be smarter at it than us, or maybe if we have more bodies, we can maybe get it over the balcony because just the two of us, it's a couch with a pullout underneath it. So, like, it's heavy because that's why, like, if it was just a couch, we probably could have gotten it over the balcony, but we're like, that thing is heavy and it's just the two of us. So we're like, this isn't good. But if they can't get it out, I'm gonna take my tools. I'm gonna rip the framework of the thing out there, and I'm gonna take my saw and.
Wow!
It'll make for a good firewood under my by my tent under the 405.
Nice.
You can make some new friends with that.
Matt Harmon, what do you got?
I mean, yeah, my dab's just gonna go to the new place. I'm pretty excited about it. But walked to work the last 2 days.
Dude, I miss walking to work. It was so
I feel
nice.
Like very salt of the earth, like a man of the people.
Nice. You know? Daily dapsing yourself again.
No.
I think that's the sixth time.
Are we keeping track of this one? Because that one sounds accurate. Sounds good.
I will say I moved farther away, and the traffic is bad getting out of my area because it's like Playa. It's this one lane on Culver coming out, which is a nightmare. But I was like, man, if I bike down this path, I'm just going to cruise past all these fools.
All these
goofballs. Fools. Sheep. Yeah.
Bulls and sheep. I will daily dap this new single from Rich the Kid featuring Kendrick Lamar. It's called New Freezer. Go check it out. Rich the Kid featuring Kendrick Lamar, New Freezer. It's on YouTube if you would like to check it out there. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
I'm going to daily daps a band that I've daily dapsed before on this podcast and the Fantasy Hipsters podcast.
Oh, look at that.
Podcast what? Formerly known as the Fantasy Hipsters podcast.
I've never heard of
Portugal the Man. Love this band. Their single from their last album called Feel It Still went number one at Top 40 Radio.
Whoa.
It's a very rare occasion where one of my hipster music picks has crossed over into Top 40 Chai's territory.
Is it, though?
So World's congratulations.
Quiet. I mean, is it rare, though?
Yes, it's rare.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations to Portugal the Man, who's been around for a really, really long time.
Uh-huh.
They have been.
They deserve this. I mean, everywhere you go, you hear this song now. Mm. Feel It Still. You've heard it.
I don't know. I probably have.
You've definitely heard
it. I'm sure you have.
Okay.
But, you know, they're an awesome band, and I think it's cool to see them succeeding in the mainstream world now.
Producer Chris, welcome back to the podcast, a week off.
It's good to be back. Yeah. I had my bye week.
Like the Chargers.
Yeah, perfect. Exactly. Chargers on a bye, I was on a bye.
Yeah, how you feeling, pal?
I'm feeling good,
Are you refreshed? You're healthy?
I'm healthy.
Focused?
I'm not probable. I'm active.
Best shape of your life?
Yeah.
Did you retool your running game? That seems to be a trend coming out through bye games.
Yeah.
Bye weeks.
You got a new kicker yet?
Yeah.
Did you get a new kicker?
Perfect.
I feel like, you know, Cam Newton had probably the quote of the year. Yesterday,
oh my God!
This is my dad. This is Cam.
Okay.
Yeah, we just lost a great player, but nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
And that's how I feel like you guys probably felt when I was gone, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
The Titanic still has to go.
Titanic still got to hit that freaking iceberg.
Can we still talk about that quote for a second?
Titanic has to go to the bottom of the ocean.
How does the room feel? Is that Cam just joking and being like just calling them the Titanic, or is he like subtly taking a shot at the Panthers this season, like, we're going to be tanking.
None of the above. I think he does. I think he just.
He was just like, what's a famous ship? Oh, yeah, the Titanic.
Yes. Yeah, I think he either does not know how that. I think he didn't make it through the first half of that.
I think somebody whispered in his
ear. He didn't put in the second VHS.
right.
He forgot it was,
a long
VHS.
It was a long movie. I'm going to say he just skipped out on the second half.
Oh, what a throwback.
He saw it hit the iceberg and then stopped watching. It was like, they make it to New York.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, yeah.
That's how the movie ends. It wouldn't be a sad ending.
Right.
Although, let me tell you what. I am going to have memes ready for when the Panthers are inevitably bounced from the playoffs.
I will say that was always frustrating as a kid when you'd rent a movie or something and it would be two VHSs. Like, I don't want to get up and change VHSs in the middle of the thing.
Yeah.
Olds over here.
First world problems.
Having a VHS player in the 90s is
I don't want to get up and put in another VHS.
Well, it's like you pop in the movie. You're on the couch eating popcorn or whatever. Like, just end.
Yeah, you're comfortable.
Yeah, cracking a beer. You don't want to put in the next part of Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus is on one VHS for the record.
That joke doesn't work.
Thank God they got that trash.
I was upset I missed the Hocus Pocus rant and then the walk-off.
Are you on my side or are you on their side? Do you like Hocus Pocus?
I don't, say but no. I respect no. the fact that you do. Wow. You know, wow. because there was, you know, everyone has their own kind of movie that they're
Chris in. Is too nice of a person
yeah, he
to
is.
Tell you
yeah,
that, you're, that you need to just get a life.
Yeah.
True. I hate all of you.
All right, that's it for the show. How do we keep talking about Hocus Pocus on this podcast? It doesn't make sense. For Matt Franchise, for producer Chris, for Alex Gelhar and Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. Thanks for listening.
See you later.